If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to find the book of Exodus. It's pretty easy to find, second book in the Bible. I referred this morning to this marriage weekend we had Friday morning, or Friday evening and Saturday morning, and thankful for just the way it turned out. It was just so good. Matt and Leanna Peek shared on Saturday morning, and their story was completely different from the story we heard Saturday night. And Matt was sharing something, and he served here as a summer youth intern, and then he was sharing something. He had just had this horrible breakup with a girl, and he had come by the church here, and we were just getting out of church. And he said, Andy, he said, you don't remember this. You probably don't remember this, but we went back in your office and we talked, and he said something that I said that helped him. You know, be honest with you, I have no idea what he was talking about. I did not remember any of that. I vaguely may have remembered it, but really and truly, I did not really recall it. But you know, I think everybody wants to be made to feel like you had an influence. I mean, is there anybody here that says, you know what, I hope I'd be totally uninfluential? I mean, do you want to influence? Do you want to be an influence? Let me just tell you this. I just had this thought. You will be an influence, okay? You will be. But do you have a desire in your heart to have an influence for good, to have an eternal impact for your life, to for you to say something or do something or be something or create something so that you have an influence and people's lives are radically changed because of your influence? Or you have the kind of influence that changes the direction of an organization or the entire history of the world? I mean, do you care to be influential? And, of course, we know that there are people in the Bible, a lot of people we read in the Bible, almost every person we read in the Bible was greatly influential, and one of those people was Joseph. And so let's read here in Joseph. We're going to pick up the story here. Let's just start from the beginning of Exodus. I just start there, okay? Just read a few verses and think about how influential Joseph was. Now, I don't know exactly how many years it has been, but it's been a long time since Joseph was in power, okay? Now, Joseph was not in power, then he was a top person. He was second person. He was second only to Pharaoh. Everybody else had to do what Joseph said. And Joseph, you remember, he saved the entire world, right? Because of his wisdom, because of his planning, and because of skirting the famine of 7 years. He saved countless lives and changed the entire history of the world. So let's start reading Exodus 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man in his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. And those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 persons, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. In other words, what happened in Egypt was like the womb for the nation Israel. They go there with 70 people, basically, and when they leave, it's been generations and generations and generations. The estimates are that there were between 2 and 3 million of them. So Egypt was like an incubator or like the womb for the Jewish people. Verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And so, things are going to change much, much, much for the worse for the Jews, because this guy is going to start persecuting the Jews. But the phrase that jumps out at me is this: there arose a king that did not know Joseph. He'd never heard of Joseph. Joseph had lost his influence over those probably hundreds of years. Joseph was no longer influential. Now, let's just go ahead and admit that if we lose our influence, it's usually subtle. We usually just don't fall off the face of the earth. Now, you can. I mean, you can make such a tragic mistake or do something so silly, I won't say the S word, so silly that you just totally lose your influence. I mean, if you're a person in position of authority or you're a person in leadership or you're supposed to be this good Christian person and you make such a foolish decision that you end up going to jail or losing your home or your family or your life, then sure enough, your influence can be... But most of the time, we don't lose our influence suddenly. We lose it gradually. It's usually a subtle loss. It usually just slips away from us, and then we realize one day, wow, I have very little positive influence. And I think that's exactly what happened here, that Joseph's life suddenly lost its influence. Now, let me tell you what I think the problem is. I think it was because Joseph got credit for what God had done. Joseph got credit for what God had done. I think often our influence is lost because we get credit for what God has done. I want you to go back and let's look at three little things in Joseph's life. First of all, turn to Genesis 39, verse 9. Three things in Joseph's life that tells us what kind of man he was. I think he and Daniel were probably the two greatest characters in the Old Testament besides God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, holy people. And, of course, you're familiar with this story. He's been taken down to Egypt. He's been sold into slavery. He's living in Potiphar's house. He's got control of everything except for Potiphar's wife. And she wants control of him. And so he comes to this situation. Genesis 39, verse 9, he's been approached by Potiphar's wife, and this is what he said. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph had an influential life because he made his decisions based on what was God's will. You know, what do you make your decisions based on? Do you look at situations and whether it's a purchase or whether it's an educational choice or whether it's a choice of whatever, big decision or little decision? What am I going to do today? Where am I going to, you know, do you look at that and say, okay, what is God's will in this? Does God have a will here? If God has a will, what is his will? Joseph, he was concerned, I'm sure, about Potiphar. But his primary concern was, what does God want here? If I do this, it's not just a sin against Potiphar. It's not just a sin against his wife. It's not a sin against just, he didn't have a family, but if he had a family, it was a sin against his family. It was a sin against God. So Joseph made his decisions based on the will of God. Second thing is, let's flip over one chapter, Genesis chapter 40. You know the story, Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him, he's thrown into jail. While he's in jail, there is a baker and there is a cupbearer that comes into jail. They have dreams and he predicts their dreams. The baker is beheaded and the cupbearer is restored to his place of service to the king. One day the king has a bad dream and the cupbearer all of a sudden remembers, oh yeah, there's a guy named Joseph, he knows how to interpret dreams. I was supposed to have put a good word in for him, but I forgot, so... He goes to the king, says, there's this guy, Joseph, he can interpret dreams. The king says, bring him on. And so he's going to face the king to try to interpret this dream. And verse 8, chapter 40 says, that is not correct. I'm not having a good day with with Bible verses. 41, okay. Says, now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams. There was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. He tells Joseph the dream. Joseph comes to interpret the dream. And then this is what he says. I'm still searching for the verse. You're going to pray for me. Verse 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had this dream. There is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard that it said that you can interpret and understand a dream to interpret it. Verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And so another reason I think Joseph was influential is because he received his insight from God. He didn't receive it from the latest trends of what was popular. He had a direct line to God. You know, the Bible says that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, comes from God. And so Joseph told the Pharaoh, says, well, you know, I don't say that I can interpret your dream, but the interpretation of dreams lies with God. And so if your dream is going to be interpreted, then God's going to interpret your dream. So he received his insight from God. He made his decisions based on God's will. He went to God, and when he had insight, when he had an idea, when he had a dream to interpret, or when he, you know, I mean, can you imagine that he's there now? He's going to interpret this dream. In a few minutes, the Pharaoh's going to say, wow, I think you'd be the guy to get us through this time, because the interpretation of the dream was, you know, there's going to be famine. And I think Joseph figured this thing out real quick. Okay, what we need to do is we need to take 20% of everything that comes in over the next 7 years, and then we'll survive the next 7 years. You know, I think we just flounder in so many areas of our life because we don't look for insight from God. I think God has answers to questions we've been asking for a long time, and we just hadn't been still enough, quiet enough, we hadn't paid attention enough. God has creative ways for us to handle the problems in our lives. He has simple ways for us to handle the problems in our lives. There are solutions to problems that we have, but we're not looking for our insight from Him. We go to a counselor. I know that counselors are good. Sometimes they're very good. Sometimes they're not good. But we seek for help at counselors. We seek for help in all kinds of places. We Google everything, you know, for crying out loud. The worst thing in the world for you to do is get sick and Google what's wrong with you, because you'll be dead by the end of that article, okay? We can convince ourselves we have all kind of problems. We look for the answers in the wrong places so often. But Joseph was a wise person because he sought insight from God. And then chapter 41, verse 16, well, he gave credit to God. Joseph answers Pharaoh and says, it's not me. God will give an answer of peace. And so he gave credit to God. You know, it took a few years, but at some point over the course of this history, they remembered Joseph, but they forgot the God of Joseph. Because Joseph, time and time again, it wasn't Joseph's fault that they gave credit to him. It was their fault. They gave credit to Joseph without giving credit to God. You know, the Bible is filled with the stories of people who did very well, but then lost their influence. Noah. Noah was used mightily of God. And then later on, he plants a vineyard and he gets drunk. And some terrible things happen. We think about Gideon. You remember Gideon? He got that massive army. God whittled it down to 300. He stormed down the hill and killed a bunch of Midianites. You know what happened to Gideon after that? He made a golden ephod, and it became a snare to his family. Think about Samson, who God was using, had set him aside as a Nazarite, and he let down his defenses, and he gave up his secrets, and he was ruined. I think about Peter, who denied Christ, and Thomas, who doubted Christ. And so we can lose our influence. And of course, there's recovery. I mean, most of these men, I mean, even, you know, Samson recovered. It was tragic at the end, but he recovered. Peter recovered. Thomas recovered. We can recover. But how do we retain our influence? I want you to go back over to the book of Exodus. Let's look at same story. It's a little bit later. Now, what's happened in this story is basically the Pharaoh has said, these people are getting too numerous. We got to get rid of them. They're going to take over. And so let's start killing all the babies. Let's start killing all the male children. When a male child's born, if you're a midwife, put that child to death. Look at verse 17, Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. They've been instructed, all these midwives have been instructed to kill the babies. Now remember, a midwife is a woman who, in all probability, has not been able to have her own family. She can't have children, or maybe she's single, or she never had a husband, or maybe she's got a husband, but she just can't have kids. And so all these midwives were women who had just kind of given up on being a parent. So since they can't be a parent, they'll help other people to become parents, and so they'll be there to help deliver children. So here's this midwife. They've been instructed, kill the babies. But verse 17 says, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. I think one of the ways we retain our influence is this. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, what you become, how powerful you get, retain a good, healthy fear of God. We need to fear Him. I made a comment this morning. I told Matt and Leanna and David and Linnell when they got through the conference, I said, listen, I know the enemy's going to come. He's going to attack you. He's going to say, oh, you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have said this. But I said, listen, I'm going to tell you what you said was perfect. When the enemy comes, you tell him to leave you alone because what you said was perfect. And this afternoon, I'm sitting over at the house, and Dana says, you need to stop that. I'm going, I can't believe I said that. Can't believe I said that. What I can't believe I said was that where I said, you know, I was talking about how we don't need to fight against God because God will fight back. And I said, you know, the Bible said that we are to turn the other cheek. I said, but if we slap God in the face, He's going to slap us down. How did that sit with y'all? You know, that sounds harsh. But it's true. I mean, I didn't even get to reading about what God told the church at Pergamum in the book of Revelation. But He basically said, listen, you get straightened out or I'm coming after you. We need to have a fear of God. And these midwives, they're like, I mean, here's Pharaoh. He's saying, listen, you better do this because I'm the Pharaoh. And those midwives says, oh, you may be the Pharaoh, but you're not God, and we fear God more than we fear Pharaoh. And so they wouldn't do what they were instructed to do because they feared God. Psalm 19, verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The Bible says over there in Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So these midwives had a good, healthy fear of God. I think also if we're going to be people of influence, we've got to learn to fear God and then fear no one else. We've got to be resistant to being men pleasers and people pleasers. I grew up with a curse. I followed all the rules. I wanted everybody to be happy with me, so I was a pleaser. And some people say, well, that's good. You're a good little boy. Well, it's a curse in a way to try to please everybody. We should fear God, but we don't need to fear other people. The Bible says in Matthew 10, verse 22, it says, do not fear what men can do to you. God says, fear me, because I'm in control of your soul. Fear me. Think about these midwives and the resistance of these midwives. And what did it lead to? Remember, they resisted. They said, we're not going to kill the babies. And then, so what did Pharaoh come back and say? He said, all right, if a child's born, throw him in the river. where the crocodiles are. And so Moses was born, and his mom, wanting to be a law-abiding citizen, what did she do? She put him in the river, didn't she? But she put him in an ark first. She put him in a place of safety first. And these midwives, literally, their resistance, their fear of God, led to the rescue of Moses and ultimately led to the deliverance of the whole Jewish nation because they had a fear of the Lord. They were people. You know what? Probably in that day, there was probably no one that says, oh boy, thank goodness for those midwives. Thank goodness we're a nation that's been delivered from Egypt, boy, because those midwives didn't do their job. Those midwives probably were never talked about. It's recorded in Scripture. We can look back at it. We can see it. We can think about it. They were extremely important to God's plan. They were extremely influential. We're going to be people of influence. Getting back, thinking about the life of Joseph, he lived a life that was based on this question: what is God's will? If you want to have influence, ask the question, what is God's will? Second thing, Joseph lived a life that if it was a good idea, if it was an insight, it was from God. It was not from him. He said, God's the one who can interpret your dream. And so realize any good idea that you have, it is an idea that is from God. A good gift, any good gift you have is a gift from God. Any good insight, any good idea you have is from God. And the last thing Joseph did was he gave God the glory for all of it. We're going to be people of influence. Ask the question, what is God's will? God tells you what to do. He shows you what to do. He gives you an idea. It's from him. It's not from you. And then at the end, don't take glory for what God has done. You know, you got a good marriage, give God the glory. If you're a talented singer, give God the glory. If you're a good leader, give God the glory. You know, I don't want to be too political, but I remember, you know, sometimes these politicians, they say things that just really they ought not to say. You know, I remember when, you know what, Hillary Clinton, remember what was the one word that was the downfall of Hillary Clinton? Deplorables, right? What a foolish thing to have said. I remember when Obama was running and he almost lost the race on this. He said, if you've been successful in this world, you didn't do that. And that just drove everybody who had worked hard all their life, it just boiled their temperature way, way up because we believe in hard work. But you know what? In reality, everything you've got is a gift from God. You got a good work ethic? You praise God for that work ethic. He gave you that. You got a good family, a good home, a good life. You got salvation? That's God's gift. You didn't do that. He gets the glory. These midwives were humble servants. They were obedient to God. They were not perceived as very influential, but they steered the entire course of human history. You know, I hope and pray that your life will be an influence. I hope my life will be an influence. This I know. There's one thing we can influence people for. It's the gospel. If we lead just one person to the gospel, our life has been well worth living. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to be people who are concerned about what our lives say, and that we're concerned about how we live and what people not perceive of us, but perceive of you because of us. God, I pray that we as Christians would not give Christ a bad name because of the way we act, the way we live. I pray that, Lord, I just think about the number of people who are gathered here and the number of people we had this morning. God, if all those people were salt that has not lost its flavor and its savor, it hasn't lost its potency, Lord, we could completely preserve this entire community. We could be a flavoring to this community, Lord, that would make it so much better a place to be. And Father, I pray that we'd realize that that influence that we have as Christians is powerful. God, if we were the true light, talks about there in John chapter 1, the true light had come into the world, Jesus Christ, and how we are bearers of that light. And it's amazing, Lord, sometimes at night I'll put a candle, just light a candle in a dark room, and it illuminates the whole room. God, I pray you'd see our lives as being like that, Lord. We may not think we're the brightest light, or we're the best light, or we're the prettiest light. God, I pray that you'd help us to realize our lives are influential. God, help us not to lose that influence. In Jesus' name, amen.